So Brian, tell me, when's the last time you shaped the future?
Justine, I am the future. That's why we're hosting CES again. You know, big things are happening. And again, I'm just so glad that we're co-hosting together.
I can't wait. It's so much fun. This is where visionaries, problem solvers, and pioneers from everywhere around the globe come together to create solutions that shape our world.
They're not just talking about what's next. They're building it, challenging the rules, and making things happen.
And when the world is watching, innovators, they show up.
So the real question is, are you showing up?
You know what to do. Register at ces.tech. The future is not going to wait for you.
This is CES Tech Talk. I'm James Kotecki, exploring the trends shaping the world's most powerful tech event, CES 2026 in Las Vegas, January 6th through 9th. Okay, think about the screens in your life beyond your smartphone. Your TV, sure, but also your car dashboard, the display in your hotel room, maybe even a smart mirror or a fitness screen. Screens are getting more intelligent, more responsive, and occupy more space, not only in the physical world, but in our mental awareness of it. And now the latest combination of hardware and software is creating previously unimaginable on-screen experiences. Today, we explore the possibilities with two leaders from LG. Matt Durgan is LG's Vice President of Web OS Content Partnerships, thinking about the experiences and interactions that screens enable. And David Park is Director of Product Strategy and Marketing at LG, focused on OLED display technology that brings those experiences to life. Together, they're shaping how we will interact with our screens in living rooms, cars, and beyond. Matt, David, welcome to CES Tech Talk.
Thank you, James.
Thank you for having us.
David, let's start with OLED display technology. I'm sure that some CES superfans out there know all about it, but just remind us why that's special and what it makes possible.
Sure. OLED, it stands for Organic Light Emitting Diode, and it's referring to the best display technology that we have. OLED is very unique. So unlike traditional LED LCD TVs that have a LED backlight unit, OLED TVs don't have a backlight. That means, for example, on a 4K OLED TV, all 8.3 million pixels are self-lit. So each pixel can turn on, off, or dim. And the benefit of that is providing perfect blacks. And with perfect black, you get infinite contrast. And the benefit for that is it adds a lot of depth to the image. And so for consumers that experience OLED for the first time, I hear a lot from them that it's like you're looking through a window. It doesn't seem like you're watching a TV. It's so realistic. And so the benefit of OLED, again, it's the best TV technology out there. We get selected every year as, you know, the best TV of the year or the best gaming TV of the year. So that's on the picture quality side. OLED, because it doesn't have a backlight unit, it also can provide unique designs. For example, 2024, we introduced our world's largest and first 77-inch 4K transparent OLED TV. For that, you know, type of display, you can watch TV just like any other normal OLED TV, but it also has an added benefit of pulling down the screen and being able to see through it, just like any other transparent display. A few years before that, we introduced the rollable OLED TV. So you had the 65-inch screen that kind of rolls out of this box when you're watching. And then when you're done and you're powering it off, it'll roll back down into that box like a little paper towel roll. And so that's what's unique about OLED. Not only does it provide the best picture quality out there with the best viewing experience, it also has very unique designs that add a element of, you know, art, design in a consumer's home. So it's a beautiful product and it also has great picture quality.
I like the idea that perfect black is actually one of the keys to this thing. Because if you were to ask me, like, what makes a good TV, it'd say, like, bright, vivid colors, right? But you're not thinking about the one that's the absence of color. But it's interesting that that contrast actually provides a lot of that quality.
Yeah, so a lot of the examples that I like to provide is, imagine the TV show Game of Thrones. So when that first came out and people were watching that show on an LED LCD TV, you know, there was that one episode, they were fighting in the night, it was extremely dark. And I remember reading comments on Reddit and online, people saying, I couldn't see anything, it was way too dark. That's the beauty of OLED, supporting perfect black on an OLED TV, you were able to see everything on that TV show. So that's the benefit of having perfect black, infinite contrast.
Well, Matt, people are doing more on their screens than just watching TV, as epic as that experience can be now. So, Matt, WebOS, it's the operating system that powers LG smart devices. Can you give us an overview of that, what it's supporting today and what it's going to do in the future?
Sure. Well, first of all, WebOS has been LG's operating system for the last 12 years. And from a vision perspective, WebOS simply has to do everything. It has to operate the television. It has to be the home of all of our great content partnerships, where you can watch your favorite video services. You can do some great gaming. You can do music. You can check your sports scores. You can connect to your IoT devices. So the list of things that WebOS has to do for the consumer is simply everything you can imagine. And so for the last 12 years, we've been building multiple content partnerships and relationships and technologies that continue to satisfy the consumer who get to use these great panels.
When I buy a new TV, and I actually did this recently, am I, if I'm the average consumer, thinking about the operating system? In other words, how much of a differentiator do you want or need that to be? And how much is that something that you just want to fade into the background and get the consumers just the idea of you're going to turn on this TV and find what you're looking for, or what you want to do?
Yeah. From a team perspective, we want WebOS to be fun and engaging. So we don't really have a vision for it disappearing. Our vision is for it to continually satisfy the consumer to where they look forward to using it, and they're surprised and delighted at how great it is to use and how quickly it'll connect them to things that they want to do on the television. So we invest in building these hubs where you can have music experiences or sports experiences, or where you can go and search and have recommendation, where you can connect to forms of entertainment that maybe you didn't think about when you bought the television. So WebOS really does stand in front, and it is something that consumers, when they turn on the TV, they should look forward to using it. They should talk to their friends about how great it is to use. So it's it does have to be seamless. It does have to be easy to use, but it should also be fun. It should be something that consumers recognize as something that they're enjoying.
So let's go to the cutting edge of what's possible maybe right now and maybe in the near future. We've got the display, we've got the platform. David, let's start with you. When those two things work together, what's possible now that wasn't before?
For me, the thing that stands out is bringing home the theater experience. So traditionally in the past, you know, if you wanted to watch the latest movie, you would have to go out to the movie theaters. But, you know, with the TV screen sizes getting extremely large, now we're producing screen sizes up to 100-inch. And with the improvements to the streaming quality, like with our streaming partners, they support 4K resolution. They support HDR through HDR10 and Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos for enhanced audio. You combine that extremely large TV with the great streaming performance, and then you could even add like our soundbar, our S95AR, which is a 9.1.5 channel virtual surround sound system that supports Dolby Atmos. So you can really create that theater experience at home. And so now you don't have to, you know, go out, spend tons of money watching movie nights with popcorn. You can bring all your family and friends together to your house, and every weekend could be movie night. So that, I think that's what's great about how things have improved or advanced over a couple of years.
You know, it's so funny that you mentioned that, because a lot of the conversations that I have for CES are at C-Space, which is the media marketing branding subsection of CES. It takes place over at Aria every year. And we're always talking about the massive disruptions to the media and, you know, business, and the streaming business is a big part of that. And obviously, this is the example of how the technology enables changes to consumer behavior that disrupt other industries. So it's fun to have a conversation on this side of the spectrum. But Matt, I want to get your take too. What are some things that WebOS combined with OLED display technology enables that people can get excited about?
Yeah, I want to reinforce the marriage between video quality, original content, and these experiences, because, you know, you don't have to go back very far to remember when technologies would take years to come out and then have any real content against it. But the year that we launched Dolby Vision, the year that we launched 4K, the year that we launched all of our technologies around search and recommendation, all of these technologies were supported immediately by content partnerships that not only delivered great content in these formats, but they were original shows. They were content that you couldn't consume anywhere else. So not only are you consuming something streaming that you can't get anywhere else, it's in your living room and it's in a video quality that's better than you've ever experienced in any other video environment before. So you go from streaming being something that consumers were kind of like thinking of as less reliable, you know, 10, 15 years ago, all of a sudden to where this is the cutting edge way to watch a video. Oh, and by the way, this video isn't anywhere else except for in your living room. So, you know, I think that that's really the holy grail that we were able to put together between our company and our partnerships, is that we brought experiences to consumers in their living room that you just simply never experienced before in any other place.
Okay, so movie night is epic. We're going to experience amazing, sounds like near immersive forms of entertainment. But that's not all that we do on screens now. So interactive shopping is another factor here. And I want to talk about what that looks like on a smart TV. Matt, how should retailers think about how they reach shoppers on larger screens beyond phones? What are some of the functionalities and capabilities there? And then how do retailers think about larger screen formats differently for interactive shopping?
Yeah. Well, shopping is an exciting new space for television. First of all, shoppers have been connecting with their products through advertising on televisions for decades, right? So, you know, let's start with the fact that, you know, all of these products, you know, have traditionally tried to connect with their audiences through advertising on television. So this has always been one of the best top of funnel activities for retailers, for products that connect to their consumer. Now, what we get to be is we get to do the entire funnel, right? We can connect somebody who's enjoying having a great experience watching these videos, and now we can present a product to this consumer. Oh, and by the way, this can be targeted to that consumer so that it has a higher likelihood of being something that's interesting to them. And then through a QR code process or just through the application, the shopping application that's on our TV called ShopTime, we can deliver somebody right into a cart instantly. So we can literally provide the entire funnel while they're sitting on the couch. And I think that's something that retailers are excited about, bringing their storefronts into our device, but also for advertisers and products who want to advertise to their consumer and give them a way to instantly transact.
And I imagine they might have to step up their game from a content perspective, right? Because if we're talking about a display technology that shows things so beautifully and realistically, then they can't cut any corners there.
Sure. Their videos can be as imaginative as they want to be. It can be in any environment. It can be any length. It could be a traditional 30-second, but it also could be much smaller. It could be squeezed back. It could be the whole screen. So there's a lot of technologies right now for advertisers and for retailers and for products to simply try to connect to the consumer in the way that's going to fit their goals.
Matt, you mentioned delivering the full funnel experience while the consumer is sitting on the couch, which leads me seamlessly to my next question. What happens when they get off the couch and want to start exercising? So they use the screen that's in their living room as a fitness center as well. What are the implications for them based on what LG can offer?
It really speaks to the flexibility of WebOS, the ability to launch any kind of a service that's going to satisfy that customer. So our fitness partners are able to provide yoga videos or provide tips on what kind of health lifestyle they want to lead, and essentially just connect with that consumer so that if they want to get off that couch and do a yoga routine, then they can do that right in front of them. They could do that in any moment. They could take a 10-minute break from watching their videos to stay active. In the future, I think you could look at peripherals connecting via Bluetooth and other technologies so that they could get instant feedback on their TV. So I think fitness and the lifestyle categories do have a great future when it comes to the living room and the television. So I think that that's definitely an area that we're working on innovating for now and for the future.
And a question for either one of you, how ubiquitous is the cutting edge version of this technology here, right? I imagine there's some consumers out there who replace their televisions quite frequently. I imagine there's some folks who are still rocking a TV that they bought 20 years ago. Maybe for them, the upgrade to OLED is especially marvelous compared to what they were working with. But when we talk about, you know, the possibilities of now and in the near future, do you have a sense, or how do you measure or frame up the percentage or the number of consumers that are actually experiencing that part of it right now?
Let me chime in a little bit on this refresh cycle. I've heard about this since I, you know, really since I started doing streaming for LG back in 2008. Feels like a long time ago. And, you know, this refresh cycle of televisions has been a topic for a long time. I think that the stability of the platform really does kind of extend the life of that television. So what you end up getting more often is you get consumers that, you know, cycle a television from maybe their, you know, their living room, which, you know, is one of our key targets as a company, to be have that great television in the living room, but then maybe bring that television to another room in their house within a certain life cycle. Really, it's not like the television goes away. I think that what might happen is you might have a loyal LG consumer who has a television that's 5-6 years old in their living room, and they might look at, you know, some technology that we bring into the market, you know, whether it's the newest OLED, the newest chip that we develop, some of our AI innovations, which I know we're going to get to talk about. And then maybe they take that TV and they put that in another room in their house and they use it differently, like a bedroom television, for example. And so then that living room television does have an opportunity to upgrade into something that might be new. So we balance that out very carefully. We have this program that we call the Renew Program that gives consumers a very stable, same experience with a 5-year cycle of televisions. There's a ton of ways that we could answer this question where you're going to have stability for 5 years. You're going to have the opportunity to move it into another room in the house. So we actually see these consumers using these televisions for even longer than you might think.
Interesting.
I just wanted to expand on what Matt just said on the WebOS Renew program. So this is something new that we introduced 2 years ago. And this is our commitment to LG TV purchasers that we're going to upgrade your TV 4 times in the next 5 years. So like we've been talking on this podcast, we've been talking about AI, the advancements to the TVs. We want to make sure customers who purchase TV or LG TVs are able to experience some of the newer improvements, features, benefits that we provide in the future. And so WebOS Renew is great. You know, you don't have to always purchase the newest LG TV in order to experience the latest features. With that Renew program, you have ease of mind that even though my TVs are a year or 2 or 3 years old, I'm going to constantly get updates on the TV so I can experience new things.
Well, I think we set a new record in podcasting. We've gone for like 10, maybe even 15 minutes without really getting into AI. We've mentioned it maybe a couple times. We've not done the deep dive question on AI that is now basically mandatory in all of my interviews. So let's go with it here. And David, maybe we just start with you. I'd love to know from each of you, how are you thinking about AI, just on a macro level in your respective areas, starting with you, David?
Sure. At CES this year, at the LG World Premiere event, our CEO, Mr. William Cho, he was talking about LG's vision for the future as a smart light solution company using AI. And the way we refer to AI is affectionate intelligence. So our AI, the way we're focused on it, is less artificial, it's more human. And basically that means it's human-centric, and it's designed to understand and empathize with the customer. So effectively, we're trying to deliver personalized and differentiated experiences through our AI solutions. Some of that looks like AI picture and sound wizard. This is a capability where each member of the family can create their own picture mode or sound mode based on how they like to watch content. You know, the example here I like to give is for myself, when I watch movies or TV shows, I like a warmer picture temperature. So I like to use picture modes like cinema. My son, he's only 9 years old and he watches animation and cartoons and he prefers a much brighter picture mode, Vivid. So he's only 9 years old, but he's going into the menu setting, changing the picture mode when he's watching his cartoons. And so that just shows me how easy it is to use our TVs. Even a 9-year old kid can use it effectively. You know, and outside of that, we have a unique feature called AI chatbot. And this is very similar to the AI agents you see when you go on websites that pop up and ask, do you need support? Do you have any questions? So AI chatbot is a very unique solution that the user can access to provide or find solutions to issues. And so the great thing about this is instead of having to call customer service, hold on the line for 10, 15 minutes, kind of explaining your situation and hoping that they understand to provide the right solution, you just go to AI chatbot and you talk to the TV. My TV's too dark. And then the chatbot will pop up and say, okay, you know, why don't we brighten the TV? This is where you go. How bright would you like to make it? Or the volume's not high enough. I need it louder. So it'll increase the volume. So this is a great way of using AI in a real world setting to help provide solutions to issues that consumers tend to see when using our TVs.
I love that. I mean, it's the solution to a challenge I'm sure you face. I mean, I think this is just kind of a generally known challenge in technology and engineering is as products get more complicated and you add more features to solve more things and do more things for more people, then some people have just a challenge using it and there's too many settings and it's too complicated. But if you have AI to simplify all that, then someone could in natural language just kind of say, something seems off about this picture and I can't really explain why. And like that could actually be solved in a dialogue with AI with a few leading questions. So I love that as a use case. Matt, what are you thinking about in terms of AI?
AI has the potential to be a big part of our technology stack in the future. It's certainly making a big impact today. So I think we're really just getting started. It's off to a great start. Think about technologies like search and recommendation and organizing large data sets of libraries of content. You know, one of our objectives when we bring on a new partnership is to get their entire library into our search and recommendation technology so that consumers can have one place to search for everything that's on the device. AI helps us organize the data and helps us present it to the user in a way that's going to be really what they're looking for. You have AI having the capability of altering the way that the interface works, you know, for each individual user. So the content that I'm going to push into a homepage can be customizable for each person based on maybe their viewing history or things that are similar to what they've been watching or things that they've told us in their account that they're interested in. You also have, in the video space, you have content being created with AI today. So as a content team, you know, we're keeping track of what are the technologies and who's moving on building video content and what are the models to get that content to users? How interested are they going to be? AI really touches on the way that the device works, the way it organizes what you're interested in, and also technologies to help our content companies build content faster and better in the future.
So David, can we imagine a future in which someone sits down on the couch and the content is just generated for them specifically in that moment? Is LG thinking about or building to that future? I mean, if you look at where technology is today, generative AI, it kind of seems plausible. But then again, it seems like there's probably a massive number of issues to sort out with that just being a regular everyday thing where I sit down on the couch and say, I want to see a Western with some robots and I want it to be, you know, in the style of a certain director, but have this, you know, kind of actor in it. Is there any plan for that kind of future in the near term?
So I've seen that creating content using AI, and it seems very interesting. On the TV side, not yet, but we are dabbling in generative AI. So one of the features that we have on our TVs right now is Gen AI art. So using Gemini on our TVs, you can create artwork, you know, just by speaking into the mic, you can say, you know, create an image of me on the beach, you know, that's having a great time drinking a Mai Tai. And then the TV will create that image. And if you like it, you could use it as a screensaver on our LG Gallery Plus application, or you could send that out to other devices like your mobile phone, share it with your family and friends. And so this is, I think, our first kind of introduction into this Gen AI space. I think we have some future plans on expanding on this capability. But getting to the point where the user can create their own TV show or movie, I think we're still some time away, but I wouldn't be surprised if we were able to see something like that. There's so much innovation and advancements happening in TV right now. I don't want to say no.
Yeah, I mean, it's something to talk about, but I think between the three of us, I would say it seems like even if that were to be possible, I don't know if the economics of it would make sense for a variety of reasons, like the computational power required, the idea to personalize it for everybody, not to mention the potential IP issues and how you'd get brand safety with things like that if you wanted to run ads on it. We have not talked about gaming yet in this interview, and we absolutely have to. If somebody is a serious gamer, How do you think about building for them? And how does that innovation eventually kind of trickle down to everyone else?
Yeah, gaming has been a huge focus for us for the past couple of years. We first introduced our game optimizer and dashboard menu setting. And so this is a unique feature. When the TV recognizes that a gaming console is connected, you get a whole new menu system, and that allows the gamer to adjust picture and sound settings on the fly, you know, based on the genre of game that they're playing, whether it's like real first-person shooter, role-playing game, maybe it's a more cinematic type game. So starting from that point, we've been focused on gaming. Since then, we've added premium gaming features like NVIDIA G-Sync, AMD FreeSync, VRR, HDIG to provide the smoothest gameplay, you know, on any display. And couple that with the OLED picture quality that I talked about earlier in the podcast, you're not only getting the best picture, but the best overall gaming experience. And as I mentioned, that's one of the reasons why LG OLED TVs are constantly selected every year as the best gaming display, best gaming TV. And that extends to our gaming OLED gaming monitors as well. We have Ultra Gear OLED gaming monitors. That's probably one of the fastest growing categories that we have. Gamers understand the importance of having great picture quality, ultra fast response times, and that's why OLED is the display of choice for a lot of the gamers.
I want to tack on some things about gaming that we're excited about. First of all, David nailed it. The OLED is the best television to do gaming on. It's extremely fast, so low latency and fast response times really are just critical to anybody who considers themselves a gamer. But if you look at what we're doing on the streaming side, you know, we've launched Amazon's Luna program, NVIDIA GeForce Now, and we've launched Xbox Game Pass. So now gamers can connect to games directly onto their device. The Bluetooth controllers or even the wired controllers that consumers have in their homes already on all these consoles that they've had in the past, you know, do connect to the TV. So, you know, they might not even have to buy a new controller. They might just have to go down into their basement or the gaming room and get their favorite controller and connect it to the TV. And then within seconds, they're playing a AAA rated game that's from Xbox. And I think if you're a gamer, to have that kind of flexibility, that kind of experience without having to put consoles into maybe a difficult space in your living room, you think about wall-hung TVs, you think about fireplaces, and now you're having a gaming experience without wires everywhere. I think that really does change the game for gamers. I didn't mean for that to sound so much of a pun, but yeah, there it is.
Please, the marketing team's going to love that. Clip that and use it. David, beyond the screens that we've been talking about so far, we're seeing, and I'm sure we will see at CES 2026, more about smart glasses, VR headsets, AR experiences. So how are you imagining a future where these technologies exist, where there's maybe transition between that and what's going on in maybe more of a living room screen setting? Talk to us more about that.
Yeah, I think the trend for AR and VR glasses it's increasing. Meta just made an announcement with their new AR glasses, I believe, several weeks ago. But in terms of the synergy between TV, I think for now, it's still kind of two separate experiences where the AR and VR glasses are more personal experiences. The TV is more of a shared experience where I'm watching with my family, with my friends. And as I mentioned, the screen sizes are getting much larger, so you know, I can enjoy movies and sports better. So I think at this time, they're kind of on different tracks, but you know, who knows in the future where they can combine. Maybe as you mentioned, you're watching your AR glasses, and as soon as you step into your living room, the TV turns on and the movie starts playing automatically. I can see that type of synergy working with those products. And for myself, it's interesting to, I'm very interested to see what the future holds.
Yeah. It might make it a little bit more of a social experience too. You know, when I've had that technology in my house, I'm like just isolated within it. But maybe if I want to share it with my wife and family, then like that could also maybe be displayed on a living room TV situation. And people could be cheering me on while I'm fighting Darth Vader or whatever I happen to be doing at the moment. Matt, I do want to touch on cars as well. So we've talked about mostly talking about people, you know, on a couch or in a living room setting looking at screens. But, you know, screens show up in hotels and cars and other places. So when you're thinking about designing for those situations, maybe let's just focus on cars. Is a screen in a car somehow fundamentally different from a screen in the home from your perspective?
Well, I think there's a couple ways to answer that question. First of all, we've been leading out with putting WebOS inside cars for a couple of years now. It's in multiple models from Kia, Hyundai, and others coming. And you can think of it in two ways. And first of all, typically you are seeing rear seat entertainment be where, you know, this the focus is. You'll see a screen on the rear seat, on both rear seats, both the driver's seat and the passenger seat. So you have a couple passengers who can have two different experiences. But overall, our goal, our vision here is to bring the living room into the car. So you could have a shared experience, or you could have individual experience. You're going to have probably a touchscreen environment. You might be focused a little bit more on technologies like audio through, you know, wireless headphones, or the ability to connect to video, where, you know, you might end up having more of a focus with that than say something like a fitness experience. But, you know, you're definitely going to be satisfied in the car in the same way that you're going to be satisfied in your living room, because we're bringing WebOS into the car and it has all those same great partnerships.
And I imagine when you're at CES and looking at maybe living room type concepts of what cars of the future could be, especially with maybe self-driving cars, you know, different layouts of seating and things like that to maybe make it more social, I imagine that might play into your thinking about the future too.
I think it's one of my favorite things that we do at CES is we've reimagined the car and we put all these new formats onto our show floor. And it's very interesting to look at the vision of automotive and transportation in the future. LG's got a lot of new thoughts on it. It's innovating very fast.
Well, great. We know LG is going to show up at CES 2026 in a big way. What else can we expect from LG?
We haven't made any announcements, so I can't get into too much detail, but...
You don't want to give us an exclusive sneak preview on this very podcast?
I wanted
to. By leaking some very valuable information.
Yeah, our PR team said, careful.
Yeah. So. Okay. They're shaking their heads in the background now.
I encourage everyone that's listening to the podcast to visit the LG booth. We're going to show a lot of innovation on all of our products, whether that's TV, audio, IT, or automotive, like Matt was talking about. Every year, we have this crazy exhibit in the front where it's like an attraction. LG is known for that. And so for your audience members, definitely come check out the LG booth. We have a lot of exciting products for you this year or the upcoming CES.
Listen, can I get some kind of special fast pass for that? Because that sounds super exciting. I can't wait to be there.
We got a thumbs up from the PR team, James. So that's
okay. Fantastic. I got to use my host clout, you know, somehow to get a little bit ahead at CES, because this is going to be crowded. It's going to be, I'm sure, if it's an attraction, it's going to be very attractive to a lot of people. We can't wait for CES 2026. As we close out here, I'm going to ask you both to think about the future and imagine that I could transport you 20 years into the future. So it's now the year 2045. And we're going to just take a walk into a random person's living room to see what their setup is. What's the first thing that you would look for, or the first thing that you would wonder about before we open the door, about how their screens and their living room and their entertainment setup is designed? Maybe starting with you, David.
Yeah, for me, it's the size of the screen. So I've been in this industry for 18 years, and when I first started, a 65-inch screen size was considered extra large. Now we're at 100, some TVs are over 100 inches. What is that going to look like in 20 years? Is it a 200-inch screen, or is it a wall, completely a video wall, and you know, it's extremely big? So that's what I'm really interested in. When is big enough?
Yeah.
When is that going to stop?
I'm going to reference back to what David kicked off our audio podcast with. We've shown so much flexibility is possible with our displays, right? We've got a transparent OLED. We've got OLED that rolls into a box. Last year at CES, we were showing physical implementations in your house, like literally walls were becoming televisions. You could have windows becoming televisions. I mean, these technologies provide so much flexibility, you know, that it really removes all the barriers on where the television has to be in the home. It could be anywhere in your home. It could fit seamlessly into rooms in ways that we've never seen before. So I love that we've shown that. And I think that, you know, if you add that flexibility, to our capabilities around AI and give consumers the ability to walk around their house and have seamless experiences anywhere in the house with any wall or fixture. And you can literally have your house talking to you and responding to your questions with AI in a way that gives consumers a lot of flexibility and a lot of information seamlessly. So the home is going to be a really fun place in the next 10 to 20 years because of what we're building right now.
I can almost imagine that in 2045, we go into someone's home and the first question is like, oh, where's the screen? There's no screen at all. But then the person turns on the screen and, oh, it's the whole wall. It's the window. It's a completely immersive surrounding experience. So maybe that's that's a really exciting future to be building toward. And I'm glad that both of you could share a little glimpse of that future with us. Matt Durgan and David Park from LG, thank you both so much for joining us on CES Tech Talk, because when you're on the show, life's good. That's our show for now, but there's always more tech to talk about. So be sure to follow, subscribe, like, comment, and whatever else you need to do to keep those algorithms happy. You can get even more CES and prepare for Vegas at ces.tech. That's ces.tech. Our show is produced by Nicole Vidovich with Paige Morris and Doug Weinbaum, recorded by Andrew Lin and edited by Third Spoon. I'm James Kotecki, talking tech on CES Tech Talk.